Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. We are in Cheves Halvavis, Shah HaBitachon, Perek Dalid. In my Leiv Tov edition, it's page Shin Mem Gimel. We're in the middle of this. The Cheves Halvavis is in the middle of making the point that a loner, although we generally relate to solitude as something undesirable, it's certainly not what we looked for in the first place in terms of a life of loneliness. Nevertheless, the Cheves Halvavis is showing us how the person who was given this lot of life should relate to it. He should see the blessing, he should see the bracha in a life of solitude. And what is the bracha in a life of solitude? Cheves Halvavis told us that it is, among other things, first of all, he said that in general, this person has less encumbrances, less commitments. But now he also says that in terms of pursuing spirituality, it's more conducive. It's more conducive. Now we'll have to afterwards put that into perspective, because it kind of comes out as though it's saying that having a life as part of a big lively family conflicts with the program of spirituality. And yet at the same time, Hashem expects us to do so to the extent that we can, right? The Cheves Halvavis is telling a person who was put into a solitary circumstances to relate to it in this way. But this is not the way the Torah sets it up as the goal in the first place. You take that if that's the lot that Hashem handed to you. But the way the Cheves Halvavis is making it sound now is like a life of solitude can be a life of spirituality, whereas a life involved with family, etc., will be a problem for that. So one thing at a time. We'll certainly have to put it into perspective. But right now, again, the Cheves Halvavis, the point that he's making really is that every person, whatever situation of life he's in, you have to be able to see the bracha in that reality. And therefore, it could be mamish two sides of the coin. A person in one reality will be told to see the bracha here, and the person in the opposite reality will be told to see the other bracha in that situation. Okay. So, yes, he's telling us that a life of solitude is conducive to contemplation. It's conducive to connecting with Hashem. It's conducive to meditation. And being away from, not always being involved in people, takes away social pressures. And now he began this interesting description of a place that a traveling tzaddik once chanced upon this town, where he saw, this is what we were in the middle of yesterday, he saw that, first of all, he noticed everybody was wearing the same color, the same style garment, uniform. And he also noticed they were all living in the same simple shed type of home. They all had a grave dug at the entrance to their home. And what he also noticed was that there were no women or children in that town, which is very strange. So they began explaining to him. He said that they told him, as we'll see soon. They told him that the reason we all dress the same is because we want to obliterate social differences between the rich man and the poor man. That's number one. The reason that we have a grave at our doors, yes, that's our grave. Because we want to be living with that consciousness, be ready for the stage where we're going to be told that it's time to move from this home to that room. We want to live with that consciousness in order to constantly be prepared. And now he tells them, now they tell him, and this is what we're up to, this is where we ended yesterday. The fact that you don't see our wives and children here, da. So we'll let you in the secret. We do have families. There's another town nearby We live in two towns. There is our town with our families, and there's the town where each of us comes to be in solitude. And to live in this more ascetic kind of way. When one of us needs to be involved with our family, he goes there to that other town. He does what he needs to do, and then he comes back. So again, as we said before, this is not the Torah way. Presumably, we're not talking about a town of Jewish people. What it is, and the Chavis HaVav has already mentioned at the beginning of the Sefer, that he will draw also on non-Jewish examples to bring home certain points. So yes, they are doing something without the balance that the Torah requires here. But nevertheless, the Chavis HaVav is drawing on this example to bring across the relevant points, the points that we can take away from this, although the Torah does expect of us to constantly be striking that challenging balance of spiritual involvement along with material involvement. But we're learning the lesson of that place. So now, so why do we live this way? They explain. Because we saw how preoccupying and how distracting it is, and how much time is lost, and how it's a never-ending race when we're living among society and among our family. So again, this is we have to keep reminding ourselves. Chavis HaLevav is making a point. The Torah expects us to be living family lives and navigating a spiritual program within that reality. And we consider that a bracha. But they are illustrating the point that solitude provides for unique spiritual opportunity. We are relieved of all this when we keep a distance. This enables us to focus on Olam Haba. Again, this is presumably not coming from a Jewish place. This is non-Jews with their concept of an afterlife. But they wanted to be involved in meditation, in contemplation, in introspection. And they realized that keeping a distance from a close social circle, even a family circle, is more conducive for that. And this tzaddik agreed with he enjoyed their explanation. And he blessed them. Meaning again, for a Jew, this is not the way to live. But for someone outside of our folds who can't necessarily be expected to keep to the Torah's perfect balance. So these people are making a better choice than those who will simply be living a life sunken in material pursuit. So, what is the point that the Chavis HaLevav is making here? Again, the Torah does tell us that the goal should be, that the site that we set is a life of family involvement. But nevertheless, the Chavis HaLevav is saying, Hashem then decides how it should work for each individual. You'll have a person who won't find the shidduch. You'll have a person who will find the shidduch and have so many children that will be overwhelming. You'll have a person who will find the shidduch, but chalila not be blessed with children. Less children. And the Chavis HaLevav is saying, although the Torah puts family life as the ideal state, if that's not what Hashem set you up with, you need to learn to find the unique bracha in that situation too. And realize that, yes, you are being put into a position where Hashem says, I want your life to be more of a focused spiritual pursuit. Okay. We move on. Now, v'miya boteach belekim bal isha ukroivim v'oyhavim v'oyvim. If this person is a husband, he has a family, he has friends, he has enemies, meaning he's right at the center of a serious social situation, a serious family situation. So yiftach belekim batzalosimim. So he says, then you have to use bitachon in trusting that it will not hamper your spiritual pursuits. Meaning, in other words, he's saying, have bitachon that whatever your family social situation is precisely tailored by Hashem for your good. If it's a life of solitude, find the bracha there and trust that that's what Hashem deemed the best for you. If it's a life of intense involvement, you have 11 children and you are the gabbai of a very, very busy and demanding shul, and at work you are responsible for a whole bunch of employees such that your life is completely busy with people, so trust that for you, that's the best plan. And live a life of trying to provide what you should be providing for all of them, what you owe them all, meaning as follows. He says, the attitude that you should have when you're living among people is, I want to perform my duties to them. Now, this means all kinds of different things. If you're an employee, it means to fulfill your duties to your employer properly. If you're an employer, it means to pay your workers on time. If you are a spouse, so in the case of a husband, it means to treat his wife right, to provide for her, to show her respect. In the case of a wife, it means to provide the husband with a comfortable home setting and to show him respect. If it's toward parents, so certainly you owe them respect, you owe them deference, you owe them to be at their disposal. If it's toward children, you owe them attention, you owe them emotional fuel, you owe them support until they're able to care for themselves. But the idea that he's saying is, this is an interesting point that really deserves elaboration. View your place in society as, what should I be doing for others? What should I be doing for others? Don't view your place in society as, what should all those around me be doing for me? That's his off-the-cuff beginning of describing the attitude that a person living among others should have. What are my duties toward them? And try also to care for their needs. Meaning, see yourself as a contributing, being in a contributing place of society, as being a giver in your circles. The people who are in my life, what can I be giving to them? Some people, it's very straightforward. Like we said, an employee, you have to give him his pay. An employer, you have to do your job correctly. And your family, you have to be providing what you need to provide. But also, when it comes to the people in the neighborhood, when it comes to the people around, to be thinking, what can I do to enhance the life of the people around me? Sometimes it's tzedakah. Sometimes it's other forms of chesed. Sometimes, what chesed are you going to do for the person who lives two apartments down from you? You see them on the steps every time. You're not going to help them carry their bags. They're younger and stronger than you. But a smile, a warm smile, a good word, a brief inquiry as to what's going on. You can find ways of enhancing the life of the people around you, of making their life more pleasant, of giving to them. You want to strive to be at peace with all the people around you. Now, this sounds simple. It really deserves more elaboration, but we're going to end here tonight in order to leave space for the shiur that's to follow. Okay, we'll end here. We'll end here for tonight. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.